And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. As you may know, we are doing now a series on grace and law, something that definitely speaks very much to me, and I learned a lot from it. And so before we go into the Word, I'd like us to start with a song by Imperials, The Trumpet of Jesus.
I listen to the trumpet of Jesus, how the world hears a different sound. Seems indifferent to you. His melody of love calls you to be great. When Mark and time is all you thought you could do. So if you've been playing all your days by ear, never knowing what your song was to be, then pause the chair, let down your hair, and take a few lessons from me. I listen to the trumpet of Jesus while the world hears a different sound. I march to the drumbeat of God Almighty while the others just wander around. I'm a member of the Holy Ghost traveling band. Song. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was born. Let's see the celebration goes on. If you feel the need to get your life in tune, cause you're tired of the dirt every day, then turn yourself around, get your feet on the ground, and just hear what I've got to say. You listen to the trumpet of Jesus while the world hears a different sound. I march to the drumbeat of God Almighty while the others just wander around. I'm a member of the Holy Ghost traveling band.
This is now part three on our series, multi-part series on grace and law. And I have to admit that even though I have preached the gospel and have known the gospel, I was born again since I was 14, I have to admit that I didn't really understand this, and the tradition, the suspicion, the thinking that this is just used by some people for excuse, prevented me from understanding it until God allowed a situation to come in my life that really forced me to seek Him in a different level, in a different humility. And so before we start, I'd like to just share with you, we talked in part one and two about how Jesus came to fulfill the law and not abolish it and what it means. We talked about Jesus' fulfillment of the law does not mean that we can live any way we want, but rather it is about our walk with Him that's not affected by the letter of the law. And I emphasize quite a bit, I think, in the last two parts about we still want to live right, but that is an outcome of our relationship with Jesus as opposed to that being the driving force because of some punishment of fear on the other end. So that is something that we talked about. And then we start talking about, is there really harm in doing good and following the law? Is this really that big of a deal? And I think that is where we are going to continue today. If you have not heard parts one and two, I would like to again remind you that we have those on the website, and you can download them by going to truth2wellness.com, and that is truth2wellness. These are all words, no numbers, and no spaces, .com. And if you go to the menu and click on radio program, what you will see is it will say season 2 and season 3. And then if you go to season 3, you will actually be able to download the previous parts in MP3 format and be able to listen to them. And this is very important because this is one way of catching up and making sure you're current to as to what we are saying and where we are going with our thoughts and our disposition of the Word of God. Now, last time we talked about, is there really any harm in doing good and following the law? And I think on surface, people may be tempted to say, well, there is no harm in being good and following the law. The difference is that very often as Christians, we do that, but we do that because of our relationship with Christ, rather than because we think that by doing that, somehow we're going to build favor with Him. The another way to really get the question or to ask the question is it okay for me to ignore the sacrifice of Christ and try to do it on my own? That's another way to ask the same question. Because if I try to do it on my own, I'm effectively saying I don't really need God's sacrifice. I think I can do it on my own. You know, I have strong enough discipline, I can handle it, and so on. That is really the same thing that we're saying when we're trying to reach God through our deeds and trying to be good enough. I think the significance will be brought home when we start talking about Old and New Covenant. Old Covenant is the covenant that's based on the law, on Mount Sinai, and New Covenant is the one that Jesus brought. Now, we can read about a New Covenant in Matthew 26, 27 and 28, where He said, He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It was a very important moment, so you can read about it also in Mark 14:24. And He said unto them, this is My blood of the new covenant, again, new covenant, which is shed for many. Likewise, Luke also writes about it, and Luke says in 22:20-21, likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of My blood, which is shed for you. And behold, the hand of My betrayer is with Me on the table. What struck me about this one, that he talked about his betrayer on the table. He knew he's going to betray him, but God, in his mercy, was generous and merciful, essentially remembering that story where he talked about a farmer and sowing the wheat, and then at night the enemy came and sowed the wheat. However, the farmer did not want to by any chance destroy some of the wheat with the weeds, so he let it grow together. We can see that also here. We can see that as expression of his grace. That also can be transferred to us, that even though maybe we didn't know and understand about grace, but nonetheless, God gives us the grace. He has the patience, says, come and listen, understand this. And this is what happened to me, I have to admit. In 1 Corinthians, we can see in 11:25-26, it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. We have to understand that today there are many people around preaching what a good life is and how we live a good life. But God has a specific plan for us Christians. In 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Notice that, as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now notice what he says here, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is, again, he's comparing the old and the new covenant. He's comparing the grace and the law. And why I want to talk so much about this and bring this in is because this is one of the big differences between overseas Christianity and here in U.S. You know, we talk about why there are not as many healings here, why there are not as many miracles here. In other countries, when I go over there, I want to be with the Christians because you just have just tremendous feeling of fellowship and anointing, and we don't have it here. Why? Well, we have actually gone back, quite a bit back, to really trying to be good people, trying to please God with what we do, making sure that we follow the Ten Commandments. And you have to understand that we have to actually move to the point where we are following Jesus. And as a result, we end up doing Ten Commandments. And the difference is significant. Because if you raise your eyes towards Jesus, you get some of his character and some of his personality. And we learn from him and we become more and more like our Heavenly Father wants us to be. And that is quite different. Then the deeds that come out of the heart, not because we try to force them out. I have seen recently a march in front of, I think it must have been an abortion clinic or something like that, Christians marching over there. And there was so much bitterness, and there was so much hatred. And I thought, Lord, do these people represent you? Because nowhere in the Bible do I see hatred and bitterness. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I'm in favor of abortion. I believe in human life. But I believe in human life also when a person is to be executed. I believe in human life when we're discussing whether we are going to go and bomb another country. I believe in human life in every form. And this is something that very often people overseas make fun of us. They say, yeah, they're pro-life, right? And then they execute the young people. They actually, I found out overseas, we are one of the five countries that executes people who are juveniles. And the other countries on the list, I believe, include Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. I'm not sure of all the countries. Not exactly the group of countries I like our country to be a part of. Now, I don't get into politics, but I do get into the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches me to treasure life. There is no question about it. But what I'm saying to you is I am going to do it in the Spirit of Christ. I'm not going to go and be bitter and be divisive and have bitterness against somebody else because they have a different opinion. God never called me to do that. in Galatians, when we read chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father." What is he talking about here? What does he mean? There is a tendency when we just get converted, when we just come to God, for us to fall back into the righteous living approach when we just come to see Christ and just, you know, the excitement of being with Christ, excitement of knowing who Christ is. Very often we want to live right and do things for Him, and that is good. But very often we try to please our Heavenly Father with our works, to show how good we are, how we can live and walk by His commandments. Well, the problem is that now starts going to legalism. He wants us to walk in a relationship with Him, not with our commandments. Why? Because there is nothing that we can offer that is worth it. There is nothing that I can do that is holy. Even when I worship, the Bible teaches me, even when we worship, it's not holy to Him. He's just very merciful to us. That is all. You have to understand, we as humans have nothing to offer. And this is why it talks about tutors and governors. A governor is somebody who has authority of a child rather than just a teacher. Teacher is there to increase our knowledge. Governor is to guide our behavior. And this is the suggestive of a process that Paul calls the drinking of milk, where Christians are being given milk to drink. And you can see and read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You can read about it also in Hebrews 5, verse 12, and 1 Peter 2, verse 2. You can read about it. I won't touch much on it. However, what I want to talk about is that the heir is no different than the servant who is under bondage. Why bondage? What is bondage? Notice that verses 3 to 5 in Galatians 4 explains this, where it says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent His Son, forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You may want to notice here that we were under bondage of the elements of the world, not the law, the elements of the world. However, for God to redeem us, to us who were under the law, He had to break the bondage of the law and bring us out of it. Why? Well, Paul refers to this also in Romans 7, 8, and 9. He says, "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. Apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." What this means is essentially, we cannot conquer it with the law. We have to rely on grace. The difference, and I'll talk about this later, is the law is based on fear and grace is based on love. Grace leads us to relationship with Christ. When we look at grace and walk in grace, it is all about God and nothing about us. Law is all about us and nothing about God. And that's really what we have to understand, that that's a big difference. So based on the scripture, we have to conclude that God had to redeem us from under the law, as it says, as we just read, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, I don't believe that anything in the Bible is accidental. This is obviously a consequential statement. We had to be redeemed under the law first. We had to be taken outside of the law and walk in grace, essentially, before we could have the adoption of sons, before we can be called the children of God. So this is why if you see somebody who claims to be a child of God and they're full of bitterness and they're full of trying to really do their own thing, you can tell right away that they have not received this. Because when you receive this gift, essentially. You get filled in with love. You get filled in with such a spirit of compassion that there can be no bitterness in you. I came to understand the significance of adoption. That's the result of walking in grace after Christ. Why? I adopted a small girl, and when I adopted her, I went through the whole process, went in front of the judge, and I found out something, and in fact, the Lord even spoke to my heart later. I realized the girl I adopted was not the best at school. She was not the best in anything that she was doing necessarily. She's very good now, I got to admit. She's one of the best students in her whole school. But she wasn't when I adopted her. And the only thing that the judge asked her is, are you willing to be adopted by this person? That's the only thing. And you see, as soon as I adopted her and the process was done, it's not reversible. She is my daughter. She is my child. She has right to all of my inheritance. Everything that I have, she has right to. Does she live any better than another girl next to her? No, she doesn't. Why is she my child? Because I loved her. Not because she was better. But it's irreversible. Once she becomes my child, she is my child. Now, if there are issues, I may have to deal with them. Luckily, thank God, they were not. But once she becomes a child, the relationship is there. Once you develop a relationship with Christ, you don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to try to be good enough. The good enough part comes from the relationship in Christ. It is then that He can lead us and tell us and show us the way to go. But this is why Paul tells us that the hare and the servant are no different while the hare is small. The only difference between a servant and the hare or somebody who is going to inherit what the master has is the relationship between the master and that person. And so you have to understand, this is why Jesus said that two will be working in a field and one will be taken, another will be left. The two, there is no indication that the two were different or that the one that's taken was working harder. That is something that we will read in there. But that's not really what he said. He said one will be taken and another left. He didn't say why one would be taken, one would be left. And we can see here that one was the hare, one had a relationship with the father, and the other one didn't. So using this scripture, we can clarify why one will be taken and another will be left. We have to be even careful in our own churches. Even in our own churches, there are many people there that are there for different reasons, and they may not have the relationship with Christ. Remember, one will be taken, another will be left. We have to know that for us to be taken, we have to have that relationship. Our lamps have to burn. And this is why I said, when somebody has a relationship, you will see no bitterness in their heart. You won't see hatred in their heart. It is not possible for you to have a relationship with the living God, a God of love, a God of compassion and mercy, and for you to have hatred and bitterness in your heart. It is not possible. Something has to give. Now, if we go into further in this chapter, in Galatians chapter 4, when we go down to verse 21, I'll read to verses 26. It says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondswoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of a bondsman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman through promise," which things are symbolic. "For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai," remember Mount Sinai is where the law was given, "which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." I'm going to conclude with this scripture for this episode, and we'll continue with part 4 next week. But I would like to bring your attention to some of the things that we can draw from these words. One is the son of the bondwoman, that is from the law, is not the son of promise. Another one is that both sons appeared and grew together, both Ishmael and Isaac grew together. Mount Sinai, where the law was given, gives birth to bondage. Notice that here he connects Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. He actually says that, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. The law is not necessarily bondage, but it gives birth to it because we are not able to overcome it on our own. The son of the promise is not under bondage, it's not under law, but is free. It is that relationship we were talking about. Through promise and not law will you see the Jerusalem that's from above. And I think that the reason Paul wrote this, and as I go back to Romans and think about what he said about the law, where he said, oh, the wretched man that I am, and you know, who will deliver me from this? He was actually talking about effectively what we are talking about now. And that is that we as Christians have to walk in grace and a relationship with Christ and not be so concerned about, am I doing the Ten Commandments today? Am I crossing all the deeds? Bible calls these deeds the dead works. Did you know that? It actually, search it in the Bible, you'll see it calls it the dead works. We don't want to be in the dead works, humans. So I hope and my prayer is that you will see this mystery, that you will see this beauty, this difference between Christianity and any other religion. And that is that God wants us to walk in a fellowship with Him, in a relationship with Him. It's not about what you do. It's not about how you live. It's about how you walk in a relationship. And if you want and walk in relationship with Him, you will live right, because you don't want to do the things that God doesn't want us to do. Next week, we will do part 4 of this series. And again, I would encourage you to look at the previous parts, because this definitely is something that has blessed me when I came across it. And I believe it will bless you and really change your life, both at home, in your family, as well as outside, at work, and everywhere else you are. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.